Morning. Today's daf in Nazir is Nun Aleph. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lana Zechanish Maslib, Gabriel Bashmuel. We are starting today at the two dots, the Lotar Ved Rekev, an entire daf today dedicated to the topic of Rekev. I saw in the Mishnayos say with the Nekudos they pronounce as Rakov. So, okay, so I may, for the entirety of today, I may be saying it wrong. Please forgive, please. He says Rekev over there?
Yeah.
The Mishnayos, he has it with the comments. Anyway, okay, fine. Okay. Whichever way is the correct way to say it. Anyway, let's remember. The Mishnah on Mem Tesam and Beis talked about what gives off to Masmeis that will require Nazir to have to restart his Nazira. So the Mishnah gave us a list, and the list included Mace and Kazais Mena Mace, the human remains, and even a Kazais of human remains, flesh of human remains. Kazais Nesel, that's a gelatinous decomposed flesh. Lotarved Rekev, and a spoonful of Rekev. And so really, for the entirety of today, we are going to be spending an entire daf today on this case of the Mishnah, Melo Tarvid Rekav. Melo Tarvid is a spoonful. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to define a spoon. Kamashi Uro, Ranun Amad Beis, we're starting with the Gemara today. On the first question is, what's the shear? Meaning a spoonful, but we seek all the time for an exact shear. So this is going to be a machlokas. Chizkiah amar melo pisa sayad. So Chizkiah says it is the palm of the hand or the fingers. It sounds more like the palm. If you take a look at Fita, thank you. If you take a look at Tosfos says melo pisa sayad mitzchilas pisa sayetzbaus adas roa from the. Mitzchilas pisuk. Okay. I need to bring my glasses in. Mitzchilas pisuk ha'etzbaos ad hazroa. From basically where the fingers start separating, so basically from, right, this is a visual, but right from over here, from where the fingers start, and till the zroa, until the arm. So basically the palm area. Okay, that's pisuk yadav says Tosfos. So that's according to Rav Chizkia. So kamashir Rav Chizkia amar melo pisuk yad. Rav Yochanan amar melo chafnav. And Rav Yochanan says melo chafnav. Melo chafnav is a term that we should sound familiar. It is familiar. The Gemara Yuma describes, and really the Torah describes that the Kohen Gadol upon entering into the Kodesh Kodashim, so he's going to go in with a palmful of Ketoros. In fact, it's going to be for the Kohen. It's going to be two handfuls of Ketoros. So the Melo Chafnav. What the Kohen Gadol does is he transfers it from the spoon into his hands. Okay, and the Gemara in Yuma, if I remember correctly, says that's one of the most difficult tasks to accomplish because he's going to be transferring it himself from the spoon into his hands with using, of course, his hands. So it's difficult. The Gemara in Yuma over there says it's one of the most difficult things. Anyway, back to our Gemara over here. So again, machlokas amarayim, exactly how much a melo tarvid rekev, how much is a spoonful of dust. So again, so it's either a palmful or a handful. So Rav Chizkiah said palmful, Rav Yochanan says a handful. Tanan melo tarvid. So here the Gemara is going to quote a Mishnah. It's a Tosefta from Ohalos. So the Rekiv Sharmru, so the this dust that they spoke about. So Yeshnam Ikar Etzbos Lamala. So from the base of your fingers and above. So and the Chachamim say, no, it's a handful. So Bishlam Rav Yochanan Hudamek Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, good. So now that's a machlokas Tanayim. So in terms of Rav Yochanan, perfect. It works out great. Because Rav Yochanan holds like the Chachamim. El Chizkiah, come on. Lokar Meir Velokar Rabbanan. But the way right now the Gemara is understanding Rav Meir, it doesn't even conform to the opinion of Chizkiah. For sure Rav Meir doesn't hold like Rav Yochanan doesn't hold like Rav Meir, but that's fine. But it doesn't sound like from the Braisa that even Chizkiah holds from Rav Meir. So Amrei, so the Gemara says to that, they said, Melo Pisas Yadam, Melo Kishri Atzbaz, Alamala Chachirahu. So the Gemara says, well, what we're going to have to do is just simply change our understanding of what Rabbi Meir's actual intent is. Rav Meir over here is not talking fingers, Rav Meir is talking palms. Rav Meir just simply means, where do I start counting the hand? I start counting the hand from the fingers and down. Meaning down, right, whenever it's describing the body, right, you have to know which direction you're going. So down meaning more towards the center of the body. So the Gemara says that's what Rav Meir means. So now it comes out really that the way we're understanding Rav Meir is that the machlokas between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan is really the same machlokas as the Tanakam and Rav Meir. So Amalev Shumi Barad Rav Papa Mimai Dahai Mikash Mikishri Esposav Lamala LaRosh Dum Lamata Mididei Dahavale Malopisa Sayad. So the Gemara says now. How do I know that Kishrei Etzbosav, right, the beginning of the fingers is going in the direction of the head? It may be going lamata, may be going down, meaning towards your fingers. So take with the Gemara leaves this question unresolved in terms of the exact understanding of Rabbi Meir. But okay, anyway, the Malo Chafnav, the Rav Yochanan Shita, is the one that's accepted that it has to be a handful. Though to be fair, are we talking about one handful or two handfuls? By the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, obviously we're talking about two handfuls. Over here, it sounds like from the Gemara it's talking about one handful. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, the basic idea we're going to be seeing over the course of today again and again, this idea is going to get drilled into our head, is that in order for Rekev to be a source of Tumah, it has to be the decomposition of the body and there cannot be any foreign substance whatsoever in that decomposition. Now, this is strange for a very simple reason. As you know, as we all know, Minhag Yisrael is to bury with Tachrichin, and in outside of Eretz Yisrael, in an Aron. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't bury with an Aron. I don't know about if that's throughout all of Eretz Yisrael, but certainly Minhag Yerushalayim is not to bury in an Aron. But either way, in other words, not nobody's Tame, but no one's ever going to get to this point of Rekev. Rekev is a special halach l'moshim Sinai, meaning I should have said that that should have been the first sentence coming out of my mouth today, meaning that this is just simply a halach, it's a part of the halach l'moshim Sinai. There's no pasuk talking about this form of Tumah, that when a body decomposes to the point where it's just dust, it's so dehydrated, it's just all it is, just simply the entire body is removed to dust, reduced, I should say, to dust, so then it gives off Tumah, and you need a spoonful of it. A spoonful, which, according to Rav Yochanan, is a handful of it. We're going to be seeing again and again throughout the shiur today, throughout today's daf, that it can have no foreign mixture mixed in. It will get to the point where it's almost going to be impossible to create this form of Tumah, of just dust of a human remains, because anytime you have any amount mixed in, and it doesn't even sound like there's an idea of bittul in this world of Rekev. The Gemara doesn't address that question straight out, but it doesn't seem to be that way, because any foreign mixture that gets mixed in during the time of decomposition, during the time of dehydration, of decay, is going to block this form of Tumah. The Gemara will get to, when we get to the Amud Beis, I'm just foreshadowing, when we get to the Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to be so, I'm not sure if frustrated is really the right way to say it, but the Gemara is basically going to be saying, how could it even ever be possible to get to this point? Based on a couple of opinions we'll see later this morning. Tana Rabbanan, we're starting now today on the very top of Nanal from Nanal. I'm not starting, but continuing. Ezu Meshesh Lo Rekev, Mesh Nikvar Arum Ba'aron Shal Shayesh Al Gabe Ritzva Shal Avanim Zehu Meshesh Lo Rekev. So the Bryce says, and once again, it's a Tosefta Noelos. Give me an example of a mace where once it decays and turns into dust, it's going to be Rekev. So the body has to be buried naked. And again, it's strange because, of course, that's not Minhag Yisrael to do so. But if it's buried in this manner, so then it's buried naked, Baron Shoshayish, in an aron made up of marble. And again, why marble? Because if it's something soft like wood, where the wood also will decay together with the body, so then that decayed wood is also going to be considered part of the composition of the decomposition. I don't mean to be that, you know, I didn't mean for the alliteration, but if the wood itself is going to be part of the decomposition, and the wood's going to block this tumah, so it has to be marble, meaning something which it itself maintains. So the only thing decomposing is the body. Or it's a stone floor. So this would be an example of a mace where there's going to have this rekev, this dust that gives off tumah. Nikbar b'ksusa ba'aron shel eitz. But if the body's buried in clothing, which is Minhag Yisrael, or aron shel eitz, or if it's buried in a wooden casket, which is mostly Minhag Yisrael, or if it's buried on top of brick is soft, it also decays, it also turns into powder, and so as the body decays together with the brick, the two are going to combine together. Zeo meisha ein lo rekev. This is not considered rekev, meaning because rekev is only when it's pure, unadulterated body decomposing. Amar Ula in rekev Allah haba min abasar min aginim ha'atzamos. Ula says that on the other side, it has to be that the decomposed dust has to be made up of the three principal parts of the body: the flesh, the sinew, and the bone. Eitzvei Rava Lula rekev haba min abasar tahor. So the Rava is going to challenge based on a brisa. The brisa says that if I have rekev, which comes strictly from the flesh, that is tahor. Ha min ha'etzem tameh. It sounds like that if there is that if the rekev, if the dust is only decomposed bone, so that is going to be tameh. And Ula told us no. In order for rekev to be rekev, it has to be a decomposition of the entire body, bone and flesh. Like a basar, and it sounds like even if there's no basar, the Gemara says right away no. Ema hachi. This is the pshat we're going to say in the brisa. Rekev abam and basar tar ashi yesh etzem bebasar. All the brisa means is that flesh alone is not going to be enough in order to create rekev. It has to be flesh together with bone. So halakha gidim, the Gemara says, yeah, but Ula also included a third aspect of the body, which is also integral for rekev creating, and that is the sinew, ligaments. So e'esh labasar latzamos below gidim. So the Gemara says, well, once you have flesh and once you have bone, so the two need to be connected. It's those gidim that connect the two. So it's impossible. Once you have flesh and once you have bone, and it's decomposed, so it's impossible to not to have sinews as part of it. Just from a very practical sense, these are halachas which, you know, are going to, as we get to, by the end of today's shiur, you'll see, like, it'll be nearly impossible to get to rekev, to this form of tumas mace. They don't decompose at the same rate, that little I know. And furthermore, meaning, usually the person discovering is only going to be discovering the dust. Meaning, how does he know, that person who discovers it, what exactly, you know, which part of the body actually decomposed? So, right, that part also is just, it's difficult. Difficult to, you know, to wrap our heads around how this would all play out. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan Shnei Meitzim Shekarvim Zeim Zeh Nasu Gugalim Zeh Lazeh. The Gemara then further illustrates how difficult it's going to be to get to the point of Rekev. If I have two bodies that are buried Zeim Zeh, they're buried one next to the other, so they're going to create Galgalim. We're going to see that word a couple of times today. In the context of Rekev, meaning in our very limited discussion of today's shiur of Rekev, so you're going to see the word Galgalim, it means that basically it blocks Rekev. It blocks Tumas Rekev. Rekev is going to be, again, I'm going to say it again, unadulterated, body decaying. And when we say unadulterated, we mean even if another body decays together with this body, that's an adulteration of the rekev. It's going to block tumas rekev. It can only be one body decaying. Now we're going to discuss in just a moment that after decay, then the dust of various bodies can combine to get to the shear of the melot tarvad. But in terms of during the decay, it can only be one body at a time. And not only they're buried together at the same time, but in the way we just described earlier, meaning that they're where not with clothing, not with tachrichin, not in an aron. Okay.
But blood can mix.
The blood, the Gemara, it's interesting. In the rekev discussion, the Gemara doesn't even discuss blood. I guess blood is the first thing
together they mix, they combine to be.
I don't know. The Gemara doesn't bring up blood in this discussion. Other things will be brought up. Blood is not brought up. Okay. Mesiv Rav Nasan Rekev Habam Mi Beis Mesim Tameh. So the Gemara quotes a Brisa, and the Brisa says that if I have Rekev from two, from the remains of two different Mesim, they do combine. So Amarav Shekev Zebif Neatzmo Vezebif Neatzmo Vierkivu Vamdu Amlo Tarved Rekev. So the Gemara says, and I know I gave away this Gemara already, but the Gemara says, yeah, if they were buried independent of one another, decomposed independent of one another, and then you get to the point of the dust, of just the remaining dust of each body, then the dust of this and this are going to combine in order to create rekev. But in terms of during the decomposition and during the decay, so the only way to ever arrive at tumas rekev is only going to be when each one decays on its own. Amar Rava Bar Bar Chanan, Rav Yochanan Gaza Sa'ara V'Kavro Imo Naslo Galgalan. Here, second time we're going to hear the term today. If, let's say, before the burial of the body, the hair gets cut off, and the hair is buried together with the body, The detached hair is buried together with the body, so that detached hair is going to be considered a foreign substance decaying with the body, blocking tumas rekev. Now, just before we go on, just some basic things that we need to remember. It's the Gemara Nida, and here the Rush reminds us. Okay, tumas mace. Okay, just this is really just a simple and basic discussion. It's not simple, but it's a basic discussion in terms of what part of the body gives off tumas mace. So the flesh we already have established, the bones we've already established, the blood also we've already established. But what about things like hair and fingernails? Do they give off tumas mace? So the Gemara in Nida says that, and it's clear from our Gemara as well, but the Gemara in Nida says it's Dafnun Hey, the Rush quotes it, that in order for a human remains to give off tuma, it has to meet one of two criteria. Number one, it has to have been born with the body. So for example, the Gemara says, and I know the... let me just report the Gemara. The Gemara says that teeth, for example, teeth is not born together with the body. Okay, I know you can make an argument that the teeth are lying in wait, but the Gemara Nida says the teeth are not born together with the body, and so therefore, teeth once removed from the body doesn't give off tumas mace, even if the teeth come off of a dead body. And the Gemara Nida says another criterion, that is, it has to be something which is going to regenerate. But if it is not something that is, let me just quote the Gemara inside. So, there we go. I got it. Okay. Sorry. In my Gemara, it's the first wide line of the Rush. So, yeah. So, chutz min hashinayim v'haseyar v'hatziporin, teeth, hair, and fingernails. So, beperk damanida mefarish taima mishum debay dumya de'etzem. The Gemara Nida says it has to be similar to the bone. Ma etzem shenivreimo v'ein gizom machlif. There we go. Okay. So the Gemara Nida says that in order for a body part to give off tumas mace, it has to be born with the body, and it's something which is not going to regenerate. Okay, good. So yatsu shinayim shelo nivru imo. So again, the Gemara Nida says that your teeth, your adult teeth, are not born together with you. Yatsu seyar v'tziparin she'af apish nivru imo gizo machlif. And the hair and the fingernails. So a baby's born with hair and fingernails, but it keeps regenerating. So those things are not going to give off tumas mace. Now, as we'll see in the Gemara, but just to hakol tamei vanogeh b'hem kenogeh b'basar hameis. I'm sorry. Uveshas chiburin hakol tamei vanogeh b'hem kenogeh b'basar hameis. I'm going to bring my glasses with me next time I give the daf. And I guess from that point going forward. Anyway, no, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, good. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara Nida says in order for a body part to give off tuma, it has to be like bone, born with the body, and also something that doesn't regenerate. Okay, now with that stated, when hair and fingernails and teeth are connected to the body, so, and anyone were to come into contact with them while connected to the body, they are going to be metame. Okay? It's what's called chiburin, that's called the connection, and it's going to be metame. Now let's go back to our Gemara, and now let's go back to the statement of Rav Yochanan. Gazaz sa'aro v'kavro imo. So you cut the hair of the mace and you bury the hair together with the mace. Naselo galgalim. That's going to create galgalim. Once again, that means now it becomes a foreign matter, which is going to block tumas rekev. Tanan ha'asam, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Olos Kol Shem Meis Tameh Chutz Min Hashanayim V'Aser V'Tziparon V'Shas Chiburin Kulam Tameh. Okay, the Mishnah in Olos basically goes over exactly what we went over. Now I quoted the Gemara Nida. First of all, the Rush quoted the Gemara Nida, but I quoted the Gemara Nida because the Gemara Nida gives us the explanation why. Again, because it has to be like bone, born with the body and doesn't regenerate. If you have teeth, hair, and fingernails. So once detached from the body, they do not give off tumah. So uvashas chibur in kulin tamein, but while connected, they are tamein. By chizke saro omei legalech zipor na omei legavz is my. Chizke now asks the following question: let's say that when the mace dies, the mace was not well taken care of and needed a haircut, but didn't get a haircut before they died. Or fingernails were so long, needed to have the fingernails clipped, but didn't get it clipped, and then the person dies. So now, hair that stands to be cut off, fingernails that stand to be trimmed. How omed ligazi is a question that we come up again and again throughout Shas. How do we view them halakhically? Do we view them, me, Amrin, and the Gemara says, my, me, Amrin, and kola, omed ligazi is kagazi is dami. So do we view them as if they are already cut off? Or do we say no? In other words, yes, it's true, somebody should have given the haircut or her haircut. And yes, it's true, somebody should have clipped the nails, but practically, right now, it's on the body, it's connected to the body, and therefore we consider part and parcel of the body.
But it is part of the body, still.
Yeah, but we have a concept throughout Shas. You're right, but we have a concept throughout Shas of ha'omed ligazes. In other words, if it stands to be cut, do we currently look at its halachic current status as already cut? So, the Gemara has numerous examples of this principle. Anyway, so the hamuchubarim v'nifshar le midrabba barachana. So the Gemara says, "Time mishum de gazes halo gazes lo." The Gemara says, "Yeah, but let's just go back a couple of lines earlier in the Gemara. Rabba barachana says that if you give the mace a haircut and you bury the hair together with the mace, so that hair is considered a foreign substance. It certainly sounds like what he's saying is that if you don't cut the hair, even though maybe he should have gotten a haircut, if you don't cut the hair, it's still considered part of the body." So the Gemara says, "Hachi kama." The Gemara says, "No, gazes hareza galgala." No, what? Don't you can't infer that that point, because maybe all he's saying is as follows. Here's what I know definitively. If I cut the hair and I put the hair with the body, and the hair now is decomposing together with the body, that's blocking rekev, that's a given. That's an absolute. However, lo gazaz, so hareze galgalam, lo gazaz mi bayile. So, but when it comes to hair that was long and should have been cut off but wasn't cut off, he's not saying it's considered part of the body. All he's saying is, I don't know, could be. I can make an argument. On one hand, we could say it's connected to the body, it's part of the body. On the other hand, omen ligazes. In other words, all he's saying is what he knows definitively. Definitively, if you cut the hair and you allow the hair now to decompose with the body, that's going to block rekev. By Rav Yirmiyahu, the Gemara now asks another question, rekev haba mina ekev mahu. Let's say I have rekev that comes from the heel of the person. Okay, connected to everyone's foot is a lot of dead skin. Okay, and you can discuss later, you know, the amount of dead skin every person has on the bottom of the foot, some more than others, but everyone's got dead skin on the bottom of the foot. Now that dead skin obviously is while the person's alive. In other words, you cut it off and you're not going to feel it. It's dead skin. So the Gemara basically is now wondering, next question in the rekev discussion, is that when the dead skin decomposes, is that considered a foreign substance which is going to adulterate the decomposition, blocking tumas rekev? So ki gamrin rekev haba mikulei meis aval dasim in ekev lo odim aloshna. So the Gemara says, when we talk about this rekev, it's part of the halach lamoshe misinai only when I have non-dead skin decomposing, but if I have dead skin decomposing, so it's going to block the tumas rekev. Tashma, the Gemara says, well, Dini Rabbi Nasim Rabbi Yoshia rekev haba mishnei mesim tamei. If I have a rekev that comes from two different mesim, so it's going to be tamei. V'isa gadacha haba min ekev lo. Now the Gemara says, now, and again, this goes back to the discussion we had a little bit earlier, meaning we're not talking about during decomposition. During decomposition, everybody has to decompose by itself in order to get to the point of rekev. It means that post decomposition, the combination of the dust of one and the dust of another is going to be is going to make the shear of the malot tarvan, the spoonful of dust. So which the Gemara now says, so if I'm combining the dust of this one and this one, zohacha dama derech akev kase vahacha dama derech akev kase. So, and it could be now that when I'm mixing two remains, two dusts of two different people, possibly the dust of the second person that I collected is coming exclusively and only from the heel, and then basically what you and you don't have a shear. So ederek of kule meiz v'kasi derech alkev hachanami. So the Gemara says, look, if we're talking about the decomposition of the entire body, including the heel, so the Gemara says, then there's obviously nothing to talk about. Meaning, we all have the same dead skin on our heel. And so it's understood that when the body decomposes and decays, it's always going to include the dead skin on the heel. The only question that the Gemara is really struggling with over here, is grappling with over here, is let's say it's not the decay of the entire body, but it's just the foot. Meaning, remember, we said earlier that in order for rekev to be rekev, it has to be the decay of a body that composes of the flesh, the sinew, and the bone. So if you have a foot, so you have it. But here now, you have, if it's just the foot decaying, you have a considerable amount of dead skin. So the Gemara says maybe this, and on this case, maybe there's just too much dead skin, so to say, where it's going to block Tumas Rekiv. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Correct, but the Gemara is basically saying that's understood. That's quote unquote normal, natural, and that's not going to block Rekiv. But if we have just the foot decomposing, that's going to bring about a disproportionate amount of dead skin, and maybe that'll block the Tumas Rekiv. That's what the Gemara is entertaining, and the Gemara says unresolved. Take it. Okay. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, Uber b'mei isha havegalgalam alo. Now, some of these questions the Gemara is going to ask, this one obviously a prime candidate, are going to be just graphic, because again, Once the Gemara gets on the topic, so the Gemara is super clinical about the way it addresses the issue, and leaving nothing unturned. So the question of the Gemara now, Rabbi Yirmiyah's question, is that if I have a fetus inside of a mother, meaning, God forbid, the mother died while pregnant, and now you have a decomposition of the body, including the fetus inside. So, Have Galgalam Alo, is that fetus going to be considered Galgalam? Again, a question is whether or not the fetus is considered a foreign substance which is going to block this particular form of Tumas Rekiv. So on one hand, we get back to a classic discussion throughout the Gemara, and that is how to view the fetus. Is the fetus considered an appendage of the mother? Ubar yerech imo, while the fetus is connected, inside, connected to the mother. So the fetus halachically is going to be treated like an appendage of the mother. That's uber yarchimo. And so over here, obviously, in our discussion of Rekiv, so how would that implicate the fetus? It basically would make the fetus now no different than an arm and a leg of the mother. And so just like an arm and a leg, obviously, is part and parcel of the mother and will contribute to Tumas Rekiv, so would the fetus. Odilma, or on the other hand, hilkach gufehu, v'lo have galgalin, and therefore the fetus does not serve as galgalin. Odilma kevin de sofalat says mifrash parish mina. Or the Gemara says, look, even though it's considered an appendage, but it's an appendage that was going to detach. It's almost like the hair discussion that Gemara had just a couple of moments ago, where while the hair is connected, it's obviously part and parcel of the mace. But on the other hand, if it's really long hair and you know the person was going to get a haircut, so it's considered now, even though while connected, an attachment, but maybe even while attached, it's considered detached. So the Gemara says, I know it's a strange analogy, but the Gemara says the same thing with a fetus. Even if you're still within the camp of Uber Yerech Imo, but it's still an appendage that is going to detach. That's the nature of a fetus. So the Gemara says, If then in the world of Rekiv, it would then be considered a foreign item decaying together with the body, blocking Tumas Rekiv. Imtim Salamar Uber Sofalatseis Mefresh Parish Mina. So the Gemara says, and if you want to say that, because the fetus stands to become detached, so even in its current detached state, it's not considered part of the mother to create the rekev. So the Gemara says Shech Vavzera. So again, the Gemara is just not going to leave anything out of the discussion. So the Gemara says, let's say the woman before she died, so she had Shech Vavzera inserted into her, and b'mei isha mahu. So the Gemara says, is that shechur zer can be considered a foreign matter? Mi amrina, we're now on the top of Nun Alpha Min Beis, kevin lo itzer ki gufe dame. On one hand, says the Gemara, look, the zera hasn't started forming into an embryo and into a connected portion of our body. So on one hand, it's not coming out of her because it hasn't started forming a fetus. Here, it's almost an irony. It's like the Gemara now is like in reverse mode. Once it starts into a fetus, that's considered again something not connected to her, but because the fetus is something which eventually will detach, which the Gemara said just a moment ago. On the other hand, if the zera hasn't started forming an embryo, so it's something within her body, which the Gemara says is going to stay there. Okay, now again, right, not to belabor this point, I'm not going to belabor this point, but the zera also eventually, you know, discharges out of her body, that which is not going to, you know, form into a fetus. But still, the Gemara is arguing that maybe we should view it as gufo, domo kevin demei amakasi lo. Or on the other hand, if the zera that was put inside of her is coming from an external source, it's coming from a man, and therefore it's not considered part and parcel of her body, and therefore it will block tumas rekif.
Every mace has stool inside.
Okay, that's the next question of the Gemara. I'm telling you, nothing on this discussion is going. Yeah, right. Well, the Gemara is going to.
But the thing is, we're talking about a decomposed body.
Yeah.
So this is you're talking about years later.
Yeah.
To the whole body.
I know. We point that
the relevance of having this.
We pointed this out earlier. Meaning the idea that someone years later is going to know all this information. It's very unlikely.
No, but it's not even going to be extant, you know, several years.
Agreed. It's almost like, right, it's almost like a purely theoretical discussion within the Gemara. Okay, and Danny, okay, Bai Rav Papa, Pir Shamahu. Okay, here we go. Okay, and so now, fecal material within the body, so how is that going to be viewed? Is that going to be viewed as an adulteration of the decomposition of the body, where the fecal matter is going to be viewed as outside material? So the Gemara has really it's almost like a biology debate regarding fecal matter. Is fecal matter considered part and parcel of you? Meaning on the one hand, it's there to provide food and nutrition, and you can't exist without. Now, it's not that you can't exist without the fecal matter. It's just that in order for you to live, so you need to eat, and obviously whatever is not going to be digested is part of the fecal matter. But in other words, it's part of you. Odilma hanami me'alma alseh. On the other hand, the Gemara says no, it's me'alma. It's considered. It's considered an external matter, meaning it's food that came from the outside. It went through with you, but because it's fecal matter, it's obviously something which was never to be digested. So basically, it's just passing through you, but it's just really an external material. And if it's considered an external material, so once again, it's going to block tumas rekev. So by Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Ika, Oro Mahu. Okay, look, as long as we're on the topic of external matters, then we're basically leaving nothing out of the discussion. So as long as we're leaving nothing out of the discussion, so we talked about a fetus, we talked about Sheikh Vazera, we talked about fecal matter, the Gemara says, let's just bring it to its conclusion. What about skin? So is skin considered, right, the outer layer of the skin, which eventually is going to fall off your body? It's kind of like the dead skin discussion the Gemara had moments ago on your foot. But now the Gemara says, what about the outer layer of skin? So, which is really, again, it's just going to fall off. It's, you know, your next shower, that's it. You're going to lose all that skin. So is that considered an external part of the body? And is that now going to block the tumas rekev? Bar Rav Huna bar Manoach, kicha v'neo mahu. Again, just keep going. So the Gemara says, what about saliva mucus? Saliva mucus, which, you know, is, again, not part of the... part of the body, but something which is going to be expelled. So that considered now an external item. So the Gemara finally gets its head wrapped around basically what we're suggesting. And the Amoraim are basically saying to one another, let's even entertain this discussion where fecal matter, mucus, saliva, skin, right, the outer layer of skin, all those considered foreign items. Rekev de metame hechi mishkachala. You know, the starting point of all this whole discussion is that there's something called rekev. We have a halach la Moshe Mitzrayim given to Moshe Rabbeinu by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there's something called tumas rekev. So it's meaning there is this concept. So if all your questions are going to lead to the conclusion that, you know, there's never going to be rekev, how could there not be rekev? Meaning it's part of Torah, it's part of Torah's Moshe Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, the Ashkenazim made the column. So the Gemara says, okay, so in theory we can get there. Gemara says that basically before the person passed away, so he was given a laxative, a very significant laxative, a sachin asha, and had all of his hair removed. Vishalka ben Meitzveria, and took an extraordinarily hot bath, removing the outer layer of skin. So it's at least in theory possible that the body can be buried in the state where once it decomposes, all it's going to be is just.
Who are they doing this?
Meaning no. I said at the beginning of this year today. I mean, it's not. Minhag Yisrael is not to bury anybody this way. This is not the way to bury people. But another, and so it makes the discussion even more abstract, more theoretical. Meaning, this is not something we do. But if it's done this way, so then the person would result in the remains, the decayed remains would result in rekev. Amar Abai Naktina Meshe Shetachno Ein Lo Rekev. Abai says we have part of the tradition that we have, Naktina. Naktina literally means to grab. But when the Gemara uses the word Naktinan, almost always it means this is part of the Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that if the mace was pulverized, so Ein Lo Rekev, it does not have the status of Rekev. Meaning it has to be a natural organic decay of the body. So even though you're basically going to be looking at the same thing, but still, that's not rekev only. The halacha Moshe Mitzrayim of rekev is that it must come about through a natural decay, and not if you accelerate the process. Yibailahu, the Gemara asked the question. Well, what if you pulverize the body, right? Basically, reducing it now to dust, and then you allow that dust to decay. So have you? Because of your intervention, did you stop rekev? Midu taima eladika basa v'gidim batzamas va'ika. On one hand, we have all the ingredients of rekev, and even though the body was pulverized, but still it went through a natural decay. Odilma kibriyasa b'ina v'leka. And on the other hand, no. In other words, the decay has to be a natural decay, and you don't have that over here. Teiku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay, let's do a little bit more for today. Tani. Ula barchanina mace shechaser. Let's say you have a body that is missing a portion of the body. So the limb was amputated. So ein lo rekev. The does not have is not subject to the halachas of rekev, velo tfusa, velo shchunas kvaras. And is also not subject to tfusa, and is also not subject to shchunas kvaras. Okay, let's take a look at a couple tosafim over here to familiarize ourselves with concepts which we may not have known before today. Okay, the so first of all, ein lo rekev that we're familiar with already, meaning that in order for a body, the decayed remains of a body to be considered rekev, so the whole body has to be buried, and if it's missing a portion, so then no. Good. That we're familiar with. What's tfusa? So take a look at Tosus over here. Tosus explains. Lekamen beperka kusim. Hamotzi makes bederech hidarko notlo im tfusa. So we're talking about digging a body up and reinterring it into another location. So let's say, for example, the body was not buried in the place where it was intended to be buried. So you can dig up the body. However, in terms of digging up the body, no lo im tfusa so. You have to dig up the body together with the surrounding earth that it was buried with. V'darsh le'mikra, and the Gemara later on. We're going to see this later in the Masechta Samach Dalet, a week and a half from now. You have to dig up the dirt together with it. Omefarish le'shen no tel kol afar hatichoach. And also, you have to take a little bit of dirt that surrounds the grave as well, some virgin soil, and vishlosha etzbaos mekarka basula, 3 inches of the ground surrounding. Okay, so this is what's the halach of tfusa. And then the final halacha, Shchunas Kfaros. Let's just finish off today with an understanding of what Shchunas Kfaros is. Again, Tosfos. Tosfos says, L'kam and Perek Basra. Once again, we're going to see this in the Gemara in Samach Dal. It says, Tosfos, Amrinan Matzah Shlosha Mesim, Im Yesh Bein Zelazem, Arba Amos, Ad Shmona Amos, Harezah Shchunas Kfaros. Basically, the formation of burial is going to identify whether this was a Jewish burial or not a Jewish burial, whether it was this is a deliberate burial site or not a burial site. And the circumstantial evidence of how the bodies are buried is going to indicate whether or not this was intentionally a burial site. And once you see three bodies buried in a particular formation, which later in Samach Dal we're going to describe the formation. Basically, now it is an official burial site. So, and at which point in time, you're going to have to basically look around the area, the perimeter of the area, in order to see if you can find other bodies that are buried, because this has now become an official burial site. And that's what's called Shchunas Kvaros, literally community of burial. But basically, it's a burial site. And so, what the Mishnah is telling us, it's a Mishnah in Adios. Sorry, it's a Mishnah in Olos. So if the body is chaser, meaning in any three of these circumstances, if the body is missing, so ein lo rekav, lo tfus v'lo shchunas kfaros. So it doesn't subscribe to these halachas if the body that is uncovered is missing a limb. So it doesn't have the halacha of rekav, it doesn't have the halacha of tfusa, meaning that you don't need to take the 3 inches of virgin soil around, and also it's not subject to kvaros, to shchunas kvaros. Meaning, it's, if any one of the three bodies is missing a limb, it's not considered an official burial site. Right? That's what Tosfos says at the end. V'imatzah shnayim shleimim ve'echad chaser ein ze shchunas kvaros. Okay. So and Tosfos has a with this last halacha. It's a little bit difficult to understand. So Tosfos says, look, if it's just an issue of halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, the Gemara Tosfos is fine. In other words, again, halachas which don't need a logical explanation. But if the configuration of the three buried bodies is just simply, this is the way we normally bury, way we normally make a Jewish cemetery, so Tosfos says, if one of the bodies is missing a limb, like Tosfos says, I have a hard time understanding, why should it be that this is not an official burial site? People lose limbs. People get amputated. And it's hard to understand why it would be this last halacha of Shchunas Kvaros if this is not a halacha Lamosha Mesinai based halacha. Okay. So we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Tomorrow we just finish up the discussion of Rekev in the Gemara. It finishes up tomorrow. And Shedra V'Golgolos. That's going to be a big part of tomorrow's discussion.